I'd like to start out with a verse in Matthew, Matthew 19, 16 to 26. And if you want to go there, that would be fine. Is that in the New Testament? Little joke there. Anyway, it's Matthew 19, and really it's about a guy who came to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might obtain eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." So he said to Jesus, "Which ones?" And Jesus went on to say, you know, "Do not commit murder, adultery, do not steal," so on and so forth. "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept." But see, he realizes, then he says, "What am I still lacking?" He knows that he's still lacking something. So Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning that you are a sovereign God. And Lord, the testimony that I am about to share, God, is to your glory. It is, God, a work that you have done, a work that you have completed. And it is my great desire here, Lord, that those who hear this, Lord, would be encouraged and just able, Lord, to hear this word, God, and to continue to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that there are many here today, and I know there are, who have friends and loved ones who are not saved, not yet saved. And have all of us just prayed for months? We have, right? We pray for months, and sometimes it goes on for years. And frankly, for me, I would really get discouraged at times, and I would look at that person and say, you know what, basically, there's no way this is going to happen. Even though what we just read says otherwise, right? But what we read in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 26 and 27, again, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And we kind of forget that. So the testimony that I'm going to share with you this morning spans about 25 years. God, because of his great love and mercy, rescued a family called Klein. That would be me, or my maiden name, and brought them out of darkness and into his marvelous, marvelous light. I'm going to give you a little bit of my family background. I was born and raised in North Dakota. Does anybody know where that's at? Because it's like North Dakota, what the heck, you know? I was the third oldest in a family of 8 girls and 4 boys. So we were like one big baseball team, if you want to look at it that way. We attended church every Sunday, kept the sacraments, Holy Communion, confirmation, all that stuff. We were religious. That's the best way, I think, to say it. And all 12 of us went 8 years to parochial school. It was very important that, you know, we were pretty steeped in tradition and religious. That's kind of who we were. We were a big family, yeah. We were happy, not so much. Okay. From the outside, it looked like everything was really great. You know, we wear our little uniforms to services and to church and things like that, and we were all really pretty happy on the outside. Okay, and I think back now, and I think a lot of what we did growing up, we were all just joked about everything. And I think that was our way of rather kind of cope with the things that were really going on in our family. So there was like a lot of singing in our house. We'd be doing dishes, and we'd all be just singing to the top of our lungs. And yeah, we had our little, you know, scuttlebutt things like that and stuff. And we'd sing for the relatives. The relatives would come and they'd say, "Okay, girl, sing." And they kind of did this to me because I don't really have a very good voice, but everybody else does. And so that was fun and dandy. But so again, we just looked like, what is that family called? The Partridge family or whoever they were, okay? You know, we kind of came across that way, right? But the bottom line here was my dad was a very angry man. Had a very volatile temper. He was an alcoholic. And you know, growing up, you never wanted anybody to know that, so you had to put on this facade, right? When he drank, he became really, really mean. And even when he wasn't drinking, you never quite knew what to expect because he was just an angry man. And you could go to ask him a question, but you never really quite knew what you were gonna get. So in our home, we kind of walked on eggshells. You know, we kind of knew what would set him off and what wouldn't set him off. And so it's kind of the way it was. And mom was just an amazing, amazing woman. And mom loved us. We didn't even know if dad liked us, least of all loved us. But mom persevered. And you know, back in the day, where was a woman with 12 kids gonna go? There weren't the shelters, there weren't the things, and plus she was a religious person, and you know, at that time, divorce was not an option. You were basically, you had to leave the church if that happened, but my dad, we saw things that kids never should have seen. My dad beat my mom, and he fractured her back one time. Another time he broke her jaw. And another time he tried to strangle her. And so we as children, that's how we grew up. The first few years weren't quite so bad, but then when he got a much better job and was making quite a bit of money, of course the drinking just kind of escalated. So the years went by, and mom, forever the optimist, was always saying to us, one of these days, things are going to get better. And we'd all just, yeah, right, one of these days it's going to happen, and we don't know when that's going to be, but honestly, they never did. They just never happened. But something radical happened in 1977. Again, there's 12 kids in our family, and my sister Vicky, who's 8 years younger than me, was engaged to be married to and his name was Tom. And basically what happened is Tom came from a very large family also, but his parents were gonna get divorced. He had like 10 siblings, and they were gonna get divorced, but the neighbors came and witnessed to his parents, and his parents go, "Oh my gosh, our kids are mostly raised and they're not saved." So the parents get saved and they start talking to the kids, and my sister's fiance, Tom, gets saved, okay? But as soon as he got saved, he realizes, I can't marry her. I mean, this is amazing, because he knew immediately he couldn't marry her, and he was just, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And of course, Vicky said, "That's a no-brainer, I'm out of here. You're crazy." You know what I'm saying? I mean, because he is just so on fire for the things of Christ, and Vicky said, who are you? I don't know who you are anymore." And so Tom, you know, he prayed and prayed, and he would talk to her, and he said, "Vicky, go read the book of John. You need to read the book of John, and when you read the book of John, you're gonna get what I'm talking about, right?" So Vicky said, "Yeah, whatever." She's just like kind of done with the whole thing. So, but what she does do is that she goes to the book of Matthew. He's given her a Bible. She doesn't even, we didn't know the New Testament from the Old Testament. We know nothing. She goes to Matthew in verse 16 and 14, and this is what it says. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And for my sister Vicky, the relationship with my dad was so bad, she just hated him. And this verse is what the Lord used to bring her to himself. It's so interesting, isn't it? It's not that, you know, for God so loved the world, but he met her exactly where she was at, exactly where she could understand, you know, okay, I get this now. So, of course, she comes to Christ, right? So then, you know, they're going to get married. But the big surprise is, you know, we're not really going to get married in the church that we grew up in. We're going to get married in an evangelical church. And, of course, all of us are absolutely appalled and very, very upset, and the relatives even worse. They're like, oh my gosh, here's this couple who's done all these things for these kids, and she is just gonna chuck it, right? So my dad, at this time, is not even going to church. I mean, you know, again, you've heard what I've had to say about my father, and frankly, I didn't like him or love him either, just so you know. But anyway, he refuses to walk her down the aisle. He refuses because she's not getting married in the church. And so she asked my brother, and my brother said, well, yeah, you know, I'll definitely do that. And so he does that, is that honor. So I'll just share this other real quick thing about this whole situation. So they're saved, and they're really on fire, and they're just packing their Bibles every way, and we are all, I'd flown home for the wedding, and we are all just kind of ticked. We are. We're like, you know what, I don't know what this is all about, but, and they were bringing it into my mom's home, and my mom was upset, and everybody's upset. So then they have a shower, right? And so she's inviting some of her friends, and it's at my mom's house. And like I said, I had flown home, and several sisters were there. And they start opening up these cards, and on all these cards, there's verses. And they're reading all these verses. And I'm telling you what, I looked at my sister Carol, and I said, you know what, I'm out of here. I don't have to listen to this. Seriously, that's what I did. And I looked at my other sister, and I said, you want to go? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm out of here. So we walk out. We just flat out walk out, and you know, I'm ashamed of that now, but that's who I was. That's who I was. So basically what happens is that she and Tom get married, and they move to Virginia. She talks to a few brothers and sisters about Christ, never to me. I think she knew better. But at any rate, they moved to Virginia, and for 4 years, they pray. Every single day, they pray for the salvation of my entire family, of Tom's entire family, without ceasing. They knew that God could do whatever he wanted to do. So 4 years goes by, and my brother David, who still lives in North Dakota, my brother David gets saved. So he's talking to some neighbors, and, whoa, I should share this with you because it's great. So Vicky is really soft-spoken, and you just would not expect this from her. So she's talking to Dave, my brother David, about the things of the Lord, and David's arguing, and she said, well, you know what? You're going to go to hell. And David's like, you can't, but that's what she did, because she's a brand new believer, okay, and she, but that never, he never, ever forgot that. He said for all those years, he just couldn't get over that she would tell him that he's going to go to hell because, you know, he hasn't come to Christ. So my brother David gets saved. And then his wife Paula gets saved, all kind of in the same time frame. And then my brother Les gets saved. So they're all North Dakota, and they're all saved now, right? And they're all brand new Christians by about 4 months, and they're reading the book of Revelation. And they're all real excited. They have no clue, but they're pretty excited because they're reading the book of Revelation. They're having their own interpretations of the whole thing. But afterwards, they said, you know, they got to praying, and they said, man, these end times, because in the early 80s, end times was, Hal Lindsey had a book out called The Late Great Planet Earth. And I don't know about hell today, but all I know is back in that day, he struck a lot of chords with people. That struck a lot of chords with people. So Dave is a little bit nervous. He's a little bit nervous because, man, you know, I'm not saved, and now Hal Lindsey's saying that we're all gonna, you know. So they get saved back there, and so they pray, and they decide that Les, who's been a Christian all of 4 months, needs to come to Oregon, right? And tell us. So they all pray and they send him off. So my mom calls and says, you know, I'm really fearful. I think they're all in a cult. And I, because, you know, they're all in a cult because they're doing these strange things. And I said, Ma, not a problem. I'll take care of it. When they get here, I'll just set them straight. So, I mean, you can count on me, right? And so my brother Les comes, and I said to Bill, my husband, I said, you know, Bill, he's coming. So what we're going to do is just be cool. We're just gonna let him come in, and we're going to just welcome him, and we're going to just listen, and then he's going to go away. And Bill said, okay, that's the plan. So he comes, and the first thing we see, he's got this big bumper sticker that says, Christ is the answer. So I said to Bill, what we'll do is we'll have him back in. Seriously, we'll just have him back in the driveway so that nobody can see that car. And then you know, we'll just won't have to explain anything. We'll just do it. So Bill said, that's a good plan, Artie. And I said, yeah, that's a good plan. And so we come and we say, hey, Les, you want to back in? Or maybe you could go in the garage. you know, because we're a little, you know, a little kind of anxious about this whole thing. And so he comes in, and now my brother Les is 10 years younger than me, and honestly, I don't really know him because I had been gone a very, very long time, and he doesn't really know me. I had gone home every year to visit my family, and so that's really kind of what I knew, but I was not there when they were all growing up, right? So he comes, and he's pretty much a stranger, and I got to tell you this, Bill said this later on. My brother walked into my house, and he had on these really funny plaid shorts. he just wasn't kind of a very cool guy. And it is almost as if it wasn't him. We couldn't quite get that, okay? It just was like it wasn't really my brother Les, okay? But he came in, and he sat down, how are you? We're fine, thank you very much. And he preached Christ. He's been a Christian 4 months. He had devoured, he had been in the Word of God. And he never, ever attacked our religion. Never. That was never his purpose. It was just, you know what? Here, let me present the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And he talked, and we listened, and we listened day after. At the time, I had quit my job, and so I was off work for a couple of months, so I was home the whole time. And day after day, I would listen to him, but I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. And Bill didn't get it either, but we just couldn't stop listening. So at any rate, oh boy, I gotta really get going here, don't I? So at any rate, he stayed there. He contacted Poison Oak. So he had to stay a little bit longer. So now I'm the only one, and I'm thinking, but see, I'm so happy he's there. I'm just taking this all in, but I really don't get it. And Les never once said to me, hey, Artie, what do you think about this? And I'll just share one verse very quickly that just pierced my heart. We're sitting there talking, and he said, well, you know, there's a lot of great people in this world. And I said, well, yeah, a lot of really good people, and I'm one of them. And he said, but, you know, we've all just kind of been duped. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, you know, I don't know. He says, you know, I was reading, and it says in the book of Matthew that many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all the prophesying in your name, heal the sick even? Did we do it? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that verse cut me to the quick. I knew it was me. I knew it was me amongst other verses that he had used. But Les never said, what do you think? So I thought, I don't know what to do. And so on the morning of July 19th, 1981, I went upstairs and I knelt by my bed and I was going to pray. And as soon as I started to pray, I realized, I don't know how to pray. But how can that be? I've been going to church all my life and I've been praying all my life. But that very instant, the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You don't know how to pray. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And I don't even know what I'm supposed to do here. But you know, I want you in my life. I want what my brother has. And you guys, I can't explain it. I just poured my heart out to the Lord. And in that instant, I don't know, and I know now it was the Holy Spirit, but you guys, I got up and I knew all this stuff, and I didn't know how I knew it. I knew that the scriptures were the inerrant word of God. I knew that the album that I had bought the day before had to go. I'm serious. I mean, it was like I came flying down the stairs. It was like the Lord was right next to me, and he just opened up my eyes to see and my ears to hear, and I came flying down the stairs, and I said to Les, I get it. I said, where's that album? And I was like a crazy woman, and he's kind of watching me going, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but okay. But enough of that for now, okay. So I get saved, but I don't really know anybody else in my neighborhood or my friends that is a believer. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, right? But I have a sister, had a sister who lived at the coast, my youngest sister, and she was pregnant. And in our family, that's no good. That's just a really bad deal, okay? And she was very, very distraught. And so I'm a brand new believer now, right? And my brother's a brand new believer. So she comes up and she's really suicidal. She is like, you know what, I just don't want to live, and just cried and cried all the time. And I said to Les, I don't know where to take her. We don't know anybody like us. You know, we don't know anybody like us now. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take her to this man I know who is religious. And because we got to do something, because we're really afraid that she's going to go off the deep end and we don't know what to do about it. So I do. I take her there and she talks to him and she comes out and I go, well, and she goes, and she's just bawling. So we get back in my car and we're on my way home, and I'm a brand new believer. So I'm just praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, and you got to do something here. Please do something, but I don't know what to do. But we shared Christ with her, but that was like not happening. And we got to, do you guys know where Merrillhurst College used to be? That's exactly the spot. We get there and I'm praying and I'm, Lord, I don't know what to do. She just starts sobbing even harder. And the next thing I know, she grabs my hand and she says, I feel him, I feel him. Oh my gosh, and you guys, she was transformed immediately. She was like, oh my, so we get to my sister's house. By the time we get to my sister's house, she is so over the top that even I kind of been like, oh boy, I don't even, you know, and my brother's like, what the world? She is dancing around the room. She's saying, I feel him, I just feel so light, I feel light as a bird. And we're like, oh my gosh, she'd gotten saved. She never said a prayer, but see, God again met her exactly where she was at. He said, well, I'm going to take care of this. So she says, well, I'm going to go. So we pray, and the next thing, she gets a phone call from her fiance, and he says, I got saved too. And we're like, you know what? He just wants our sister. So we're going to send a spy down there, and it was going to be me. I'm the spy, okay? Like, I know nothing. And so I said, okay, I'll go spy it out. I'll go make sure he's really saved. So I get down there, and sure enough, he said, Artie, when your brother Les was walking with us on the beach and he was sharing Christ, he said, I wanted to get saved so bad, but he just wouldn't tell me what to do. He would not tell me what to do. So that Sunday, he went to church. He went to the Four Square Church, and he said they gave this altar call, and I couldn't get down there fast enough. So he'd gotten saved. So I get down there, and I go, well, you know, I'm just kind of looking at things, and he'd gotten saved. So I thought, oh, good, I can go now, right? So I left and came back, and so sure enough, they'd gotten saved. Well, my brother Les, now this is all within a week that all this is happening, okay? So then my brother Les says, well, you know what? I got to get going. I got to go home. But I'm supposed to stop in Montana where my brother Steve is. And Steve is kind of a tough guy. They sit around, smoke marijuana, and he's just this tough guy. But he said, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go. And I said, well, don't go. No, I didn't say that. So we prayed, and he went. You guys, he no more than got there. He's talking to my brother Steve and his wife Jolene. Before he ever leaves, Jolene accepts Christ. Okay? A week later, my brother Steve calls my brother Les on the phone, and he says, hey, Les, do you think that God is still writing in that Lamb's Book of Life? Uh-huh. And Les said, nah. No, I'm just kidding. and so Les said, yeah, Steve, he is. And he said, okay, and hung up. Well, the next day, Steve gives his life to Christ. And it's all just nuts. So we call it Les's missionary journey, to be honest with you. Well, now I got to go to my notes because I think I've gotten off course. Oh, yeah, okay, so here we go. We're good with that, okay. So that was still in 1981, yes. Oh, and then in 1982, January of 1982, my sister Shirley, who lives in Colorado now, they moved to Walla Walla, and she's at a church. They give an altar call. She can't get down there fast enough, so she gets saved, right? And then that fall, my oldest sister Darlene, alcoholic. We had all types in our family, you can imagine. There's 12, and we're all a little off, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you kind of can't grow up in a family like that and be completely what, I don't know what normal even is now. I don't think I'm normal, and you certainly are. No. You don't know what's normal, though. Growing up in a normal family, I don't know, you know. But anyway, that fall, my sister Darlene got saved. She was totally delivered from alcohol. Her husband was not, but her husband got saved later on. That fall, my brother James also got saved. And then years went by, like 1990, my sister Marilyn got saved. And she gets saved because she's a single mother raising a two-year-old who was difficult. And she said, you know what, Artie, one night I just said, Lord, I can't do this. And she said, I cried out to God, she got saved. And then my sister, Kathy, got saved 2 years later. Kathy had a pretty tough life, not the best choice in husbands. She's had the first husband that she remarried, and that was kind of a bad deal also. But you know, I've been very close to Kathy. I've been preaching to her all my life. So she's got this neighbor woman who's a pastor's wife, and they go walking, and she say, hey, Kathy, can you pray for so-and-so? Kathy's like, okay, whatever. She said, I'm not even a Christian. Apparently, she doesn't know that, right? But every day they'd walk, and she'd ask Kathy to pray. So Kathy said, well, pretty soon I'd pray, but I just didn't really get it. Well, then they had like this revival, tent revival. Kathy goes to this revival. Kathy gets saved. She calls me up. She says, oh, my gosh, you'll never guess what happened. And I'm like, oh, what happened? She goes, I got saved. I get it. She says, I've never heard that stuff before. And we're all like, you've never heard? But, you know, we know again that she really didn't hear it. Because, again, until God opens your eyes to see and your ears to hear, you can't. But so here's God, and she gets saved. Well, so now, oh, boy, I'm going to do my best. And so now we're at the end of all of these people getting saved, and we're all believers now, and we have a family reunion, and it was just incredible, because we're all worshiping God instead of drinking beer and cigaretting, you know. And my mom is very distraught, because every time somebody would get saved, she was heartbroken. Even though she would see this marvelous change, but she was heartbroken. But the kind of funny thing about it is that whenever someone got saved, whoever wasn't saved became her favorite. I mean, and it was, oh, my Marilyn. Oh, my Marilyn. We go, oh, here she goes, you know. In 2000, the year of 2000, my dad, and by then my parents are divorced. My mom finally leaves him. But they live not very far away, and my mom is very gracious and has forgiven him after all. It's really incredible. But my dad is diagnosed with lung cancer, and he's not going to live. He's not going to live. It's inoperable. There's just no cure. So we get the news, and we're all like, well, I mean, we're all like, well, that's sad. But then we all said, wait a minute. He cannot die without Christ. He can't die without Christ. So we started a prayer meeting in Salem, and about half the family lived here at that point, and we got together every third Sunday of the month and just prayed. And the Lord, I love this. I love how the Lord did this, because only He could do it. He impressed on every single child, you need to go home and you need to show your dad the love of Christ. And I remember saying to the Lord, but God, I don't love him. I don't even like him. But he said, you know, I want you to take a step of faith, and I want you to be obedient to what I am asking you to do. So we did. My brother and I went home. And he was in the hospital, and he was pretty sick, but he was very coherent. At that time, very coherent. And so we walked in the room, and oh, well, hello. And, you know, again, even the greeting was not, you know, hi, fine, you're here. And so we started talking with him, and we started sharing Christ. And his response to that, my dad had a very, very foul language. Just anything that came out of his mouth. He told us to get to the blank, 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 blank out of that room. That he did not need us to come back and tell him. So we leave and we're stunned. We're just stunned because we've been praying this whole time, and we feel like, man, we're doing what God's asked us to do. And then we realized, you know what? This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle for your dad's soul. And Satan is going to he's going to pull up everything he's got. So I remember walking out of the room, and I said this to myself. I said, fine, you want to go to hell? Fine by me. And I never even got the thought out of my mind when the Lord said, how dare you? That is who I died for. That's why I came. How dare you? And of course, I immediately repented, but still didn't quite get it, okay? So later on, a couple days later, my brother and I went back to the hospital to see my dad. And he was sitting on the bed with his legs, and he was very frail by then, maybe 90 pounds. He wasn't a big man anyway, but we looked in the room through the window, and he looked just devastated. He looked so forlorn and just so sad. And so Jim and I walked into the room, and I said, Dad, you know, what's going on? He says, they're taking me to radiation. And I said, Dad, can we pray for you? And see, here's the deal. My dad would have either said, what the blank do I care? Or, yeah, whatever. So that's, and my dad looked me in the eye and he said, yes. And so I prayed for him, and my brother prayed for him, and when we were done, my dad looked up at us and he said, thank you. So we saw at that moment something happening in my dad 2 days ago, he's cursing us. He's cursing at us, telling us to get out of the room. So the thing is, though, is that every child, every sibling from wherever we were went home and shared Christ with my dad. And my sister, Connie, calls it a symphony. It's just like, you know, all these different players would go home and they each had something to give to my dad. And again, nobody liked him, nobody loved him, but it was the love of Christ that he saw. And just like all of us, he knew he did not deserve one single visit from any of his children. He had failed us. He had done all these things, just like we all have in our lives. We've just done stuff, right? Maybe not as horrendous as my dad, but we've done stuff, and we need to be forgiven. So they all went home and shared with Dad the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this story because everyone went. And my dad died on May 9th. But before he died, my brother Jim and two sisters went to the hospital because time's running out. He's got maybe a month to live. They went to the hospital. And my brother Jim is desperate to see him saved. He's banking on this whole thing. We're praying it's going to happen. And if he doesn't get saved, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do either, you know. But they go into his room, and my brother Jim is so desperate, he goes up to my dad, and he's going to start sharing Christ. And my brother Jim said, the Holy Spirit said, Jim, get to the end of the bed. You're not, this isn't your part. So Jim said, I was stunned, and I went to the end of the bed. So here's Kathy and Marilyn over here with my dad, and Kathy and Marilyn were ones that that my dad really did not like. And they had some really tough times with my dad. But there they are, and they're going to share Christ with him. And so Marilyn talks to Dad about the Lord, and Kathy brings up a verse which is interesting. It's in 1 John, where he who does not have the light does not have Jesus, the Son of Man. And it says, I tell you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. I used that verse on my dad 25 years earlier, and he walked out of the house and wouldn't take me to the airport. He said, no, how dare you? How dare you? My sister Kathy, unbeknownst, she would not have known, used that same verse. Dad, you can know it. And Marilyn said, Dad, what do you want to do about this? And Dad said, I want to get saved. And so they prayed with my dad. My dad is just bawling. My dad is weeping and crying. And they start singing Amazing Grace. And so after he got saved, others would go home. And this is my dad would say, my brother Steve was going home and reading him Psalms. My dad looked at Steve and said, sure hope you guys are right about this. So the last part I want to share is my sister Carol. We had one person in the family that was not yet saved, okay? And we've been talking to her, and the Lord had given her an incredible love for my dad. And we all saw it. We knew what God was doing. And we're like, what the world? She became his advocate. He just deserved nothing, again, like all of us. But she's like advocating for him, and she's, whatever, Dad, you guys just, I'll take care of it, you know? And so I have to say this, when my brother and two sisters got to my mom's house that night, another brother was there, and my sister Carol, who's not yet saved. And they shared how Dad had gotten saved. I mean, they were just so on top of it. Carol said, Artie, when I heard that, Dad had gotten saved. It was like someone had just pierced my heart, and I knew I would never see Dad again. I'd never see him again because I'm not one of you. She still didn't get saved. So a couple weeks later, My oldest sister, Darlene, get this, invites her to Luis Palau. She's got 11 brothers and sisters who have been talking to her for years, but she invites her to Luis Palau. He's in Bismarck, North Dakota. And so she goes. And so, you know, Luis Palau's up there giving the gospel message, right? And so Darlene said, oh, man, I am sitting there and I'm praying, oh, dear God, you got to do something. You know, this may be her last chance and so on and so forth. And when he shared Christ, before he gave the invitation, he asked people to stay in their seats and really consider what he had talked about. And then I want you to make a decision. And then I want you to come down here and make a public proclamation. So Darlene says, I'm sitting next to her. She said, I'm sitting, the next thing I know, she grabs my hand and said, let's go. And so they go down there and Carol gets saved. So she's the last one in our family then to be saved, okay? And so she goes to tell Dad, Dad, we're going to be in heaven together. And we are all just rejoicing. But I got just five more minutes, two. But I have to share this with you, okay? When I found out that Dad had gotten saved, and I lived here, and my brother Les, who had brought a lot of us to Christ because of his own testimony, Les calls me up and he said, Artie, what do you think? And I said, you know, I don't know. Now here we are, we've been praying all this time and we're like, we're really, but you know, we were like Thomas until I put my finger in the side, I won't believe it because God's good, but not Dad, you know, not Dad. That's as bad as you get, you know. And so I said, well, you know, I'll tell you what, when I see those guys that come back home now, then I'll grill them. And Les said, yeah, that's what we'll do. You know, but the bottom line is that Dad really did get saved. And he was a completely different man. It wasn't instantaneous. He lived three more weeks. But he had come to Christ. So what my great hope is for all of you here, if you have loved ones who are not yet saved, there isn't anything that's impossible with God. And he is not willing that any should perish. If you take a look at the thief on the cross, he didn't have any time at all. And Jesus said, surely you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, you know, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. So, you know, from the worst to the worst, God's arm is not so short that it cannot reach out and save. And he saved an entire family. And our get-togethers now are amazing. We play worship songs and we just recount God's blessings in our lives. And I would love to be able to tell you that my mom came to Christ, but I don't know. She'd heard the gospel every which way there was to hear it. And I thought, you know, when my mom dies, I'm never going to get over it. I can't get over that because I loved her so much. But when my mom died, it wasn't like that at all. God is a faithful God. And whatever God does, it is right, it is just, and it is absolutely perfect. So that's my testimony. I was going to actually try to share my own, but that is not going to work at all. But hopefully, again, this will encourage you. Every time I tell this story, and when my siblings and I get together, we just still can't believe it. And my brother wrote a number of songs, of which I was hoping to play one today, but I knew I wouldn't have time. I told Judy I was going to play the whole album. And she said, well, no. And I said, two? And she said, no. And I'm like, well, one? She goes, if you can fit it in, that's fine, you know. At any rate, that is our family story. And I hope you've been encouraged by it today. And, you know, just never give up. Greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. And I think oftentimes we forget we are in a real spiritual battle. And as we are living, I think, in these end times now, things are ramping up. Things are really ramping up. So, but thank you for listening to me this morning. And I'd like to just close in a word of prayer, okay? God, again, there is nothing that is impossible for you. And Lord, I know that there are many other stories that all of us could tell of your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, how you have never left us and you have never forsaken us. Lord, as we continue to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to be bold. God, help us to stand strong. Lord, help us to do what you have asked us to do, and that is to go through all nations and to preach the gospel. Lord, we never know who you have chosen from the foundation of the world, Lord, to come to you. So God, again, we love you so much. In Christ's name, amen.